He is coming back.
It's just a spreadsheet that I just built a little list on. Oh, can you enable, Glenn, can you enable screen sharing?
Yeah, hang on.
Otherwise, I can try my best to just kind of speak to it.
No. I think I can make you a co-host.
You got to call Bob at home, though.
It's going to send another 007 code out.
Yeah, that's, wow, I know.
Here we go.
All right.
So the incentive has been submitted. That's the solar incentive. So, but it could be a while. A lot of applications went in really quickly. So the program opened, and by just a few hours into the program being open, when we were putting in some applications, we saw very high chronological numbers of applications mounting. And I got on the phone with Glenn and was like, Glenn, we really got to get this stuff going super fast. And I was super proud of the people over in Canton, Glenn and Bob being very responsive and getting me the paperwork in. To give you guys a kind of an idea of how important that push was, the utility released a list of all of the applications they have and how they were ranked according to completeness, and meaning like the time that they were marked as complete in their system. The program was full with applications, and there's a line, and Canton is just below the line. Now, on the surface, that sounds bad, right? It sounds like, oh, we missed it. But we know that a handful of projects above the line are going to get disqualified for one reason or the other. You know, we're talking 150 applications. Somebody's going to get disqualified. I feel very confident that Canton is going to ultimately be offered an incentive for the solar project. It was such a shock to the entire industry that so many applications went in one day, and what historically has lasted for many weeks or months on a rolling basis was absorbed in about a 24-hour period. But Canton is right on the line, and I think you will ultimately get an offer. The utility has given us no updates, though, as to when they're going to pre-qualify, when they're going to start sending out those, notices. I do have here on the screen, this is the schedule. It's down a little further. So the application window opened on February 1st. Can I move this out of the way? On February 1st, it was full by sometime on February 2nd. Our application was in at that time. They didn't even have the bidders webinar. The utility basically said for all the people who wanted to apply, that webinar was going to be on February 7th. Well, they were full plus 5 days.
Wow.
Yeah, just to show you how kind of surprised everybody was. Mm. Deadline for questions, February 14th. So it's all kind of comical to look back in hindsight. So what we do know is that, look, the bid form applications for small projects, that's the category that Canton High School is going to fall into, that actually closes May 1st. So the utility has made no promise, even though it's full, they've received enough applications to fulfill their entire budget. They're keeping it open and letting people pile onto this wait list, which is just ridiculous, all the way through May 1st. We're hoping, and the utility has told us kind of candidly, that they do intend to start pre-qualifying applications and letting people know whether or not they're going to get an offer well before then. But the formal incentive will probably not be offered until sometime after May 1st, probably into June. But we're hoping that we'll have some insights so that we can finally put it to bed and say Canton will get that offer before then. So that's a very just long way of saying it's going to be a while. My estimate is about 2 to 3 months until we know for sure that you're getting that incentive offer. But Earthlight's confident. So we've been forging ahead, vetting out all the projects, doing some engineering and reviews, and project costs are in line. You know, we've been spending more time getting quotes on some trenching and what the material costs are going to be, and really fleshing out the design, and things are looking good. The roof has not been formally evaluated, but we think that this is a low-risk factor because it already has solar on a lot of the roof. We have many ways to design solar to keep it nice and lightweight. We have been in conversations with the utility. We don't have contingent approval for interconnection yet, but again, you guys have such a large transformer there, such a large load. The existing solar is really small. This one's about twice the size. This solar is about twice the size of your first one, but that's still only 30% of the capacity of the transformer that's on site. So we feel very confident that the utility is going to approve it when the time comes. It's been submitted, things are going. We have also been talking to the utility about that new electric service. We have a work order in to meet with the utility on site to formalize what, you know, any costs associated with that new meter might be. So we again are still very confident in the budget, but that's in the works with the utility. One of the next steps and the things we'll be reaching out to the town of Canton about is getting the EV incentive submitted. This is $20,000 that's available to help support that project. It was kind of budgeted into our analysis a long time ago, but we may as well get that going now that we have a design kind of fleshed out. We have the work order moving with the utility. We'll be getting that together and sending over to the town for signature so we can submit and make sure that that money doesn't go away on you. I've been taking these preliminary, now nearly vetted costs and starting to collect some bits on the PPA rates. And so to give you an idea of how the different companies might approach the exact same project, there's a company called Down East Renewables. I have never done a project with them, full disclosure, but they are currently the most attractive rate. This is a penny and a half less than some of the estimates I was showing you guys in the original presentation. Actually, almost 2 pennies lower than the original presentations that we had been talking about. It's a fixed rate. And what's interesting about this is that they would just give the chargers to the town. They're just letting the solar kind of carry the cost of the EV chargers and do with these chargers what you want. DSD, Earthlight's done a lot of work with them before. This would have been my suggested go-to partner, except that they're not the lowest right now. And they would actually own and operate the EV chargers, so that could be a plus or a minus to the town. What happens to the revenues? I actually have a call with them on Thursday to talk a little bit more in detail about some of these things. I'll find out, if you did decide you wanted to charge for use at those EV chargers, who gets any profit and upside for that? I'm not really sure how that's handled right now. And then I've got a few other PPA providers, more than just two, but I got to kind of walk through with them exactly how this all works with the EV chargers, the new service, the virtual allocation of monetary credits. Not all of the PPA providers really understand this. So once they come to terms with it and understand it, I'll be able to collect their bids. And then a later step will be to let the town take all of this data along with the terms and conditions and decide, which ones you want to look at, not based just on price, but also the terms and conditions that come along with the pricing. So that's where we're at. I know that was a lot really quickly, but really the summary is here. Everything's kind of going as planned, except I would like to see you guys farther up the list on the incentive that you're above the line right now. But that's not the way things came together. But other than that, yeah, we're right on the nose. But happy to take any questions that you guys might be curious about.
The PPA rate, of course, is seemingly very high compared to the rates we saw on the other installations in town.
Yeah.
And I know you ran, you know, a whole economic analysis, and I'm not remembering exactly how such a high rate provided the level of savings we were talking about. Is there additional incentives, you know, beyond that? How is that? Because I don't think that's any cheaper than what we pay for electricity right now, all in, right?
Yeah, sure. So the reason for that is the rate, the EV meter is the key here. We're bringing in a new meter that's 100% volumetric. So it's similar to like a rate 40. So if you look at an electric bill for the community center, you're in with standard service rates being 26 cents a kilowatt hour right now. So let's do that really quick. I can jump over here. Let's just plug in the standard service rate. So this is the amount that the utility will pay for the excess power. So you're going to have these EV chargers that are using very little power or energy throughout the month.
Yeah, right.
The excess energy is going to be bought at the retail rate for energy at that meter. So just the supply rate alone, the standard service supply rate, which is the rate that they buy it at, not any negotiated rate that you might have with Constellation or whoever. So the bare minimum that they would currently pay for that power is 26 cents. So if we plug that in and say that is all the benefit that you get, let alone some of the other delivery and transmission, you know, the fees, we can go over to this example and say, well, if they're going to buy the energy from you for 26 cents, but you only paid, and I'm splitting the difference on this, 18 and a half being the low bid, 19 and a half being the higher bid, yeah, 19 cents, then that would work out to about a $23,000 net benefit to the town. But the reality is that you are getting more than just 26 cents benefit for this. You're also going to get another 6 or 7 pennies for the delivery benefits.
Yeah.
So that should bring you up to about 33 cents, let's call it. And you can see how much that number swings. So just adding another 6 pennies goes from 23,000 to 47. Because the PPA rate, you know, it stays the same. That was a very abbreviated version of kind of how this all works.
No, that brings back memories from when you first went through it. But yeah, that's interesting, because at that rate, if we were just offsetting further electrical usage within the school, it would not look very attractive.
Correct, because if you were going into the school meter, right now your all-in rate there, depending on, you know, like, so last year your all-in rate would have been about 15 cents. Right, so if we were to plug that in, you're upside down.
Right.
There were a lot of rate hikes this winter. There's going to be some relief this year, but things might settle out somewhere in the 18, 19 cent range. So you might be close, you know, using a typical rate 56 or rate 30 plan. So, you know, you'd be in the ballpark there, and it'd be a great cost control go green measure. Right. But it's not really going to save you any money. Really, what makes all of this work is the fact that there's a new meter that is purely volumetric. It has no demand component to the bill. So all excess energy will be valued higher. And because you're a municipality, you can participate in the SAM program. And the SAM program, SAM, stands for State Agricultural Municipality. It allows you to aggregate the kilowatt-hour load of up to 5 meters,
right,
to size a solar array behind any of those meters. And then whichever meter you're behind determines the value that they buy the energy, and then the cash value gets distributed to those other beneficial accounts. And I've asked the utility 5 different ways in public webinars, in follow-up questions. So let me get this straight. If I have a rate 40 or something similar, and it's a purely volumetric rate, and you're going to pay me 35 cents, that's the rate you pay, and that's the rate that will be applied to, say, a rate 30 or rate 56, where the monetary value of a kilowatt hour might be lower. And they said that is correct. So
cool.
Feel very confident that this is going to work out.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think the rate that you guys and your other company provided us for the first phase was something like 6 cents a kilowatt hour.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. So remember back then, you know, rec rates were a lot higher and solar costs and material costs were a lot lower. So it's a very different model. So there are ways to get there. Like, we could make a solar array work on the roof of the high school, but one, you're not actually allowed. Yeah, I can stop sharing this now. You're actually not allowed to tie a second solar array behind the same meter anymore. You'd have to go front of the meter. So that deteriorates some value.
Right.
But there, we can do it. It's just that the net savings would be lower and you wouldn't have any EV chargers.
Yeah.
And just to restate, you said we could choose the meter, right, of the other five?
Yeah, so right now, the way that we submitted it to the utility is... And Glenn, refresh me, I'm pretty sure we just used the high school load. But you can change those beneficial accounts
right
in any given year. You just have
We're very concerned about the electric rate in town hall. And that's the one that sparked a lot of interest in the presentation.
Yep, but when I talked to Bob Skinner about it, he said, for the moment, let's assign it to the high school. And we can, you know, go back and revisit that later. I think it makes sense.
How often can that be changed?
Once a year, and I think it's like a $250 fee to go back to the utility and rejigger the beneficial accounts.
Did Bob know that, Glenn?
I don't think he knows that there was a $250 fee, but he did know that, that it's, you know, you can't change it on a dime. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be planned out.
Yeah, the fee is something new. We've never talked about that fee for changing.
Yeah, it's not a tremendous amount, so.
No.
Let me see here. I'm looking for on the application to see exactly which accounts we used.
That's my recollection, was that that's what Bob said, just give it to the high school right now. 99.9%
sure. Oh, you know what, though? There were two beneficial account allocation form. Let me just call this up. This is some of the document. I know I'm not sharing my screen anymore. Once I find it, I can, you know, give you guys a view of what I'm looking at here. Yep, we have 10% of the credits going to town hall. And 90% going to the high school.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Yeah, so no, you're right. We did do that, but I think we wanted to make sure that the that you had a foot on each of those accounts. And so now the aggregated load of the town hall and the high school, not just the unknown future load of the EV chargers. We just basically called that zero. Here, I'll put it up on the screen here. I'm gonna click a lot of buttons to share on Zoom. So basically, we have to give you two sheets. One was, this is how crazy the utility gets with these applications. And Glenn, I think you were a rock star with this, because you had to get me 12 bills on short notice because the utility told us they wanted the actual meter read dates for each of the 12 months. Crazy.
Yeah.
Like they don't have this information at their fingertips.
Exactly.
They made us go back and look at every single meter read date. So we look at every single one. We put the kilowatt hour usage as well as, so one of these is the high school, is probably the bigger numbers, and then the town hall. So all of that is being represented in the usage analysis. And then we were able to tell them separately that we want 90% of that to go to the 76 Simmons Ave, that's the high school, and 10% to town hall. So that can be, you know, rebalanced down the road anytime you guys want.
Is there a fee if we went to like 80-20?
Any change that you make on an annual basis would. And don't quote me on the $250. It's around here. When they originally rolled this out last year, it was a $25 change. So it wasn't even worth mentioning. This year they've 10x'd it. They're calling it $250 bucks, or around there.
Stefan, I have a question. When you talked about the at least 20,000 annually at the current rates as a net for the town, is that equivalent to the credits that you're talking about? Are they equivalent?
Yeah, so the way the energy will flow and be credited to the town from a solar array behind this EV charger meter is the first thing that happens is in real time, if anybody's using the EV charger, they're getting solar power to do that. So that's energy you didn't have to buy from the grid to charge that electric vehicle. Far and away, there's going to be more solar power than just what the EV chargers are going to use. And we're going to put some pretty high-powered EV chargers. They're level 2, but they're going to be capable of charging twice as fast as what most people have in their homes, like 80-amp charge rate, which is twice as much as most cars can even charge. But it'll leave room for growth, fleet vehicles, things like that, if you ever decide you want to do it. Anyway, the excess power then will flow out to the utility grid. And if anybody's charging their car at night, those kilowatt hour credits can be used to offset that load at night when the solar is not there. Then at the very end of the month, the utility is going to say, all right, how much energy flowed in through the meter that we, you know, sold to the town of Canton, and how much came back that we have to buy? And whatever that net number is, which will be an export number, that amount, that energy will get the full retail rate of at standard service plus delivery charges in that particular month. So if in 5 or 10 years electric rates have gone higher, then you're getting paid more for that energy.
Right.
So typically what they would do in this scenario is they would buy that energy, put a monetary credit on the electric bill, and let it sit there until it was used with subsequent, you know, consumption. But because you are eligible for the SAM program, we're allowed to then allocate that monetary credit to other meters.
Got it.
Did that answer your question? Yeah. So it's, we were all talking 3 or 4 months ago about this, we didn't know how that transaction would happen. The utility didn't even know. They finally told us that it will be at standard service, even if you're on a third-party supplier rate. So they'll reconcile your usage monthly, and you're basically saving it the Constellation rate or whatever supplier that you use. But any surplus will be bought at standard service. So that's good news for you guys, and it makes us feel that much more confident that we're setting you up for success.
Anybody else?
What would be a consideration if we wanted to switch the 90-10? What might bring that about?
So what I've gathered, because this is more a decision for the town of Canton, right? We're going to put this value on the table. We've given you a couple of different places to send it. You can send it to the... Right now, you can send it to Town Hall or you can send it to the high school. It would be up to the town of Canton to determine, you know, any nuances with how the budget is negotiated or allocated to determine, you know, how you want that to be divvied up.
Yeah,
something
it doesn't affect
the, something tells me it can get political really fast.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the savings at all as long as whatever meter we're allocating it to has enough load to absorb the overproduction. It's just, you know, what bill do you apply it to? So it's more of a budgeting question than it is a functional question, right?
Yeah.
And the 250 is per reallocation, per each allocation change?
Yeah, well, we only have 2 beneficial accounts listed. So there's 3 accounts total, right? There's the new EV account plus the 2 beneficial accounts. So... only the export, the surplus over the EV charger is really what we're talking about here. I don't know, like if you had 4 beneficial accounts, which is the maximum, you have your tied-in system account, and then you have the 4 added accounts.
Okay.
I believe the 250 is a one-time rebalancing. So if you were, you know, 40%, 20, 20, and 20, and you rebalanced everything a different way, that's a one-time fee of $250 from what I understand. What I don't know is if there's any additional fees for adding beneficial accounts or closing something out. But that the utility hasn't gone into that detail with us because, frankly, I don't think they know yet. I think they're gonna reserve. That's what I'm looking for here. Some flexibility in the program for maybe the unknowns that they haven't run into yet, because they haven't done any of this stuff yet. Like the round one only recently closed a few months ago, so these projects are all starting to get built for the first time now. You guys would be in round two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it makes a lot of difference what account we apply it to, because it all comes out. It's all the same amount of savings, and it's all paid for by the town. The question of whether it's coming out of the school budget or the town budget, that's something Bob Skinner can comment on. So,
yeah, I mean, I can say, like, in my hometown of Brantford, like, this wouldn't work, you know, because there are budget rules that are very different. Like, the authority that the Board of Ed has in Brantford is maybe handled a bit differently than how it's done in Canton. We, you know, the town rule is great, you know, for Canton. In Brantford, they're like, nope, never happened. Those budgets, there's too thick of a brick wall between how those funds are handled. So, like, this type of project would just be done directly with the Board of Ed in that case. So it's a very much a municipal decision.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, can I just make a comment since we're talking about the Board of Ed? The Board of Ed is aware of this project. They're on board. I think as we get closer to putting, any of the components in place, I know we're still quite a ways away from that, but they will be involved, just so you all know, they will be involved in any of the pre-construction meetings, talks that take place. I think by that time we're going to have a new superintendent, or the return of the former assistant superintendent who will now be the superintendent of schools. So he'll be involved. I had a chat the other day with the Board of Education or the school system's business agent, and she's pretty excited about this and wants to be involved every step of the way. So I fully intend to involve them in all the conversations going forward.
Has there been any more discussion about the location of the charging stations, which was not supportive of putting them out in the middle of the parking lot?
Yep, they're okay with, actually. I know Stefan and Bob and I walked the high school parking lot early on, and there was some concern about the special parking spaces that are the closest to the building. And I've been assured that it's okay to use some of those parking stations for the EV charging stations. Now, that's under the current administration, so
better get it done quick.
Get it in writing. Maybe. But yeah,
that's good news, though.
Yeah, yeah, very.
Cost, and I think it's just a better
It makes the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're pretty flexible on that, because I think the way that we're doing it, and maybe I'll share my screen one more time here. Well, we'll see if it's one more time or not, but so right now those chargers would be in this area here.
That was the original proposal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, the original was over here.
Yeah, and right? and that's where I've been told that they're on board with.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I meant when we had walked and we thought that those were the best parking spaces. Yeah, so apparently they're okay with giving up a few parking spaces there.
Yeah, and by few we're talking four.
Right.
So you got there would be four 80 amp chargers, and what's good about that is if the town ever wanted to experiment with an electric bus or, you know, some other fleet vehicle that's used for, you know, short haul, you know, short trip, you know, hauling, those usually have higher powered onboard chargers, like pickup trucks and things like that. And so these EV chargers would be relatively future-proof for that.
Yeah.
And there would be the ability to add more to it, because we're putting a big service in to handle the power of the solar. The connected load of the EV chargers, there's definitely a lot of upside to that. So if you ever wanted to add to this bank of parking spaces, you could.
That's
interesting. I'll tell my project management team that this is potentially back on the table again.
Yeah,
right now
definitely
this is a more complex install.
Right, makes things a lot easier, a lot shorter run.
Yeah. Because because your transformer is right here. So right. This is where we're going to be pulling the power from.
Right.
And I think the plan was in order to avoid trenching out here and then coming all the way down here and then coming across, we were going to bring it back up onto the roof and come down.
Yeah.
And bring it out this way.
And yeah. I was like, wow. That's a lot more intensive. So.
Yeah, I wasn't. But
you know, I see. God, that's.
Yeah, nice. There was even talks of us bringing
going
it
the other here. Direction. Yeah.
So this right here, that would be great.
Yep.
Definitely cut down on trenching.
Yeah. Is that 80 amps at 480?
At 208.
At 208. Okay. So it's that's not that. Yeah, that's a level 2 charger.
It's still a level 2 charger, but it's like the highest level 2 charger you can.
Yeah. I mean that's what I have in my house. So.
You have 80 amps?
No, 40. Well, I have 40 at 240, but I'm saying it would be twice what a typical home charger would be.
Right.
Nancy, did you have a question?
Nope. It got answered. Start with
okay. Your... All right. Well, Stefan, you've been great as always, and I'm sure you'll keep us updated. And I think we're done with your part of the presentation.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on the agenda there's an update on the EV chargers. Is that relevant to us as well, or is that just...
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you probably want to stick around for it. Really briefly...
It sounds like my contributions are done, so thank you all. I'll go on mute and just listen the rest of the time here. So.
Okay, thanks, Stefan. So just to circle back to what we've already known for many months now, the DOT has subbed out the grant administration of the CMAQ grant to a company called VHB, which is a consulting firm in the state, kind of a well-known one, mostly, you know, road type stuff, roads and bridges. So I was always kind of didn't understand why that was, but the person I'm working with is a gentleman named James Culpa, who is the administrator for the CMAQ grant for the town of Canton. We've been going back and forth now for many months. He informed me that the very latest news, this is as of this morning, all the financial documents have been submitted to the DOT office that is going to review those and will issue a contract for the town to sign. So, you know, it goes from one desk to, you know, another, and I think we all know what it's like dealing with grants and grant administration. So what's kind of surprising is the softball field isn't even totally finished yet, and we've already gotten our grant money. We've already gotten our reimbursement, and I can't even get this project off the ground. So that's what's going on. It's been frustrating. It's moving slowly, but it is moving, and I wanted to let you guys know that. And hopefully, you know, Stefan will still be on board when we finally get the contract with these guys, and then we can get a contract with Earthlight, and we can start work. So,
we've been doing a lot of municipal EV charger installations with a lot of success. We'd love to add Canton to the list.
Yeah.
Do you know if you'd still be able to apply for the utility incentive in addition to this grant money? I can't remember where we left off on.
Yeah, I don't recall either. I want to say maybe we may have missed that date, but I can circle back and see.
So the town of Crumwell, there's a gentleman down there named Stuart Popper. I don't know if you have ever... So
no.
He actually just got a grant through DEEP, I think.
Okay.
And he was able to also get the utility incentives. So
okay.
That kept their capital expense really small. But if you wanted to reach out to the building official there in Crumwell, Connecticut, he might be able
yeah.
to...
Yeah. What's his name? I'm sorry?
Stuart Popper. And Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T.
And the last name is...
Popper, P-O-P-P-E-R.
Okay, town of Crumwell.
Yeah, and I think he's the building...
He's a B.O.?
Yeah, it's like the building department.
Yeah, okay. I will reach out to him. Yeah, I mean, if there's something available, definitely want to try to grab it. So that's what's up with the CMAQ grant.
You're on mute, Bob.
I didn't think I wanted to bother you with my coughing. Let's move on to the hydro.
Okay. Canton Hydro Project, some pretty interesting things happening. So April 1st is the scheduled opening for the fish ladder. I don't know if there's a ceremony. I don't really know any of the details, but April 1st, if you're in town, and you know, as we get closer to it, I'll let you know for sure, you know, what time of day and everything. If there is anything, they're just gonna.
So they're gonna physically open the gate, and then water will start flowing.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
or something.
Right. I mean, I don't know what more there is to see, but yeah. So it'll be activated.
I've been wondering about that. I've been over there to look at it. It's still been dry.
People have been asking about it quite a bit, seeing as it costs as much as it did. So the other thing, you want to mark your calendars for May the 20th, which is a Saturday. It is the tentative date for the grand opening of the Canton Hydro facility. There'll be a ribbon cutting, and all the dignitaries will be present, and there'll be, you know, trumpets blaring and flyovers and all that good stuff. So, but no, it should be really cool, actually, and I'm sure everybody that has been involved in the project. In fact, I know you're all going to be invited. You're all going to get an official invite to the grand opening. So I hope to see you there. I'll be there.
Who else is going to be there? Like, what dignitaries, like you said?
I would imagine. So far, what I've heard, well, other than local, so far I've heard like the state representatives. You know. I know the governor has been in Canton recently having lunch with the first electman, but I don't know whether he's going to be invited or he's going to, you know, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, there's also, you know, there's always a potential for it. But that's
I think Chris Murphy has been around, you know, some of the senators, if they're in town, may be able to, you know, make a showing.
I mean, I'll tell you what, if anybody has any ideas of who should be invited, please forward them to me and I'll pass them on. I would imagine it's probably the Board of Selectmen or the first selectman and Bob Skinner are probably working together. That's my guess, but I can't say for certain. So like I said, if you have any names of people that you think should be there, whether they're local or state, send them to me. And that's it.
Okay, Stefan, you don't need to be here anymore because we're just about done.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you, Stefan. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Okay, I'll give you a few moments to read once again the minutes from the January 17th meeting. They were part of the packet that Glenn sent to you. The chair will entertain a motion.
Move the acceptance of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Moved by Sue, seconded by Dave. Thank you.
Sure.
Any corrections there?
I guess one minor thing. It says that, you know, last month's BOS meeting where the pitch went well. We might call it a presentation rather than a pitch. Small item.
No, it's a shows close reading.
I'll let Don know.
Okay, the motion's been amended with the correction. Raise your hand or say aye to accept the minutes.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Abstain.
One abstention of Nancy. There is no chairman's report. Staff report, Glenn?
I have nothing tonight.
Okay, so entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you. We're done. And we'll see you next month. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Sorry, are we talking to Matt?